So some of you may recall a long ago church member, Lillian Dillon. We've received word that she has passed away. So may God bless her soul. We have no one that we know of that is hospitalized at this point in time, but we do have ongoing medical issues to be concerned with Jen, Lee, Marge, Michael, Kathy. At home with illness, we have Ed Dyer, Deb Trowbridge's husband, Bob, Richard Lamoureux. In nursing homes, we have Jackie Glass, who is in hospice care at the Maples, Carolyn Farrell, Nancy Kelly, who is at the Branches, who also been asked to give prayers to Stuart, and then the usual, all who struggle with addictions, the people of Ukraine, our nations, its leaders, the world and its leaders, Chloe on the loss of her grandmother, the future of our church as we begin developing a plan, and something you'll hear about soon, our stewardship program for 2023 that will kick off fairly soon.
Yes.
I have a joy to celebrate. My daughter Kayla is coming down to Cape Cod this afternoon. And tonight I'm finally getting my Father's Day gift. She's taking me to a concert. So it's great. And I can't wait to spend time with her. So I'm looking forward to that today.
Well, thank God for families. Let us be in prayer. Dear Lord, we give thanks for families, for gatherings. They bring enlightenment, they bring joy, they bring peace, they bring laughter. Let us be thankful for the times we have with our family. And let us remember the people that have passed, Lillian Dillon, and let us be with her family as they grieve the loss. And let us be with all the people that are in need of healing powers that God can give them. Let God offer them comfort and be with them during this time of struggle. And let us remember that you are all-powerful and all-comforting, and all we need to do is turn to you for our guidance, for love, for joy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Our scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. And in this lesson, just as it is today in Jesus' time, people were obsessed with the material possessions. And so Jesus uses a parable, as he often does, to give a lesson to those who are in attendance. The parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbiter over you?" He then said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist of in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build a larger one. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But Jesus said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Our middle hymn is 89, "Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee." We're going to sing the first and the last verse.
Morning, and thank you for having me here today. I remember hearing a saying a long time ago that went, "The one with the most stuff wins." Today, one of the fastest growing industries is the storage business, with an average growth rate of 3.5 to 5.5 a year for the last 20 years. It even grew during the time of the pandemic. We Americans have so much stuff that we need places to keep it all. Another sad statistic is that we also have excessive credit card debt. Now, excessive credit card debt is defined as not being able to pay your credit card balance at the end of the month. So before diving into scripture reading, let's reflect on these two statistics. One, we have excessive credit card debt. And two, we have so much stuff that we've developed a growing industry in storage. Now, I'm reminded of a song from 1972. Janis Joplin sang, "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? My friends all have one, I must not offend." Do you think God wants us to have something just because someone else has it? I think they used to call that keeping up with the Joneses syndrome. Now, I'll grant you that not everyone has credit card debt, and also not everyone has such an abundance that they need storage. But take a look at our own individual lives. Take a look at our own situations. Forget about the government, big business, those one percenters that have more money that they could buy countries. Those are subjects for another day. Look inside ourselves. Do we have more than what we need? I preached a sermon last week discussing the differences between need and want. And yes, there is a difference. And many people either don't know the difference or refuse to consider what the difference is. I believe as Christians, our lives should revolve more around need than want. not just our needs, but the needs of others. When was the last time you gave a 20 to the church above your pledge just because? Or how about filling up an extra grocery bag of food and delivering it to the food pantry? Or going through your closet and taking out all the clothes that you don't wear anymore and bringing that to Goodwill? These are small but powerful acts of kindness. Now, the very opening of the passage begins with someone from the crowd asking Jesus to intervene on his behalf against his brother. This someone wants Jesus to help him get more. Now, back in Jesus' time, when a patriarch died, 2/3 of the inheritance was given to the eldest son. Now, this was so that he could care for his mother and any unwed sisters that may have. Now, the remaining 1/3 was given to the remaining brothers. Now, I don't know the complete circumstance of the someone in the crowd, but it does appear that he wants more than what he's getting. Jesus said it was greed, saying, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." To put it simply, and in my words, we don't need everything we want. Now, another wise man once said, "You can't take it with you." Jesus tells us a parable. Now, in full disclosure, the writer of Luke did not like rich people. Back then, the rich people flaunted their wealth as a blessing from God, and that they were righteous. The story tells us about a rich man that has a bumper crop. So much that he has, his barns are currently full, and he has so much he can't put any more in. So what does he do? He decides to tear down what he has and rebuilds larger barns to put more grain in it. Now, during this time in history, if we were not a pagan and a believer in the one God, as the Jews were, they believed that all good that came was a blessing from God. In the reading from verse 17 to 19, the rich man refers to himself as "I" 6 times. Not once does he mention or acknowledge God for his good fortune, and not once did he offer thanks to God, and not once did he mention what he was going to do with that extra grain. Instead, he said he would eat, drink, and be merry. It's very clear that the rich man is thinking only of himself. Now, this can be said of a lot of us. We don't need to be rich to be selfish. Some may be saying, "Wait a minute. It's okay to save up crops. It says so in the Old Testament. Joseph did it." That's true. However, Joseph stored them up for 7 years during an abundance in preparation for the 7 years of famine. This way the people would be fed during those times of famine. There's no indication that the rich man is doing that, and it appears that he wants to hold on to what he has and perhaps sell off later and maybe at a bigger profit. Also, the Old Testament mentions feasts and festivals and times of celebration. That's true also. But these were also times of thanking and acknowledging God. Remember, the rich man hasn't even mentioned God, let alone thanking God. His party is for himself. The passage goes on to remind the rich man, and us by extension, that our lives here on earth are limited. Our lives in this earthly form will end, and like the rich man, we don't know when. The writer of Luke is not asking us to live in destitute. Remember, in Luke 3, verse 11, "He who has 2 coats, let him share with the one who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise." Luke is not asking us to give away everything we have. But Luke is asking us to take that second coat and give it to someone and not put it in storage. The ask for us sounds difficult because we have the mindset of keeping and acquiring more for ourselves instead of for others. Perhaps going forward, one should ask themselves, do I need or do I want this? Reaching out to God before you decide what to buy or to do with your money is never a bad idea. Money should be and is part of every Christian life, but it shouldn't be the center of our lives. That place should be reserved for God. Listening to Jesus tells us to be more giving than acquiring. I think the last line of the passage is a good summation. It says, so it is with those who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich towards God. Let us all strive to go forward and be rich towards God. May it be so.
Final hymn is 181, Ye Servants of God, and we're going to sing the first and the last verse. I'll play it down one time.
Christians by the actions we take. Be with us on this day. Continue to comfort us throughout this time here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.